On this week's show,
our latest unwashed superhero makes an appearance as the harbinger of the end of the MCU. It's Captain Marvel.
I give you a proper fisting with Iron Fist 2. Go on, nice, spit out.
And we go back to basics training with Police Academy 8. And also, loads of gore with the lovely Quentin. Stay tuned.
Oi, that's my life.
Play it in, fat boy. Hello, ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, gamers, geezers, geeks, captains, people who have limbs made of metal, people who like protecting people, people who desperately want their film franchise to come back, and people who maybe shouldn't remake franchises, and people who just disappear like the Invisible Man. Here's this week's Monkey Nut Bunch podcast, and this week, we're now 200% sexier than we were last week. And 400 pounds heavier.
300.
We're not shredded. 300.
Oh, only 300.
You're not fucking 300 pounds.
Hang on. What is 300 pounds?
Yeah, we're going to work
no,
out.
No, I'm not. You fucker.
136 kilograms.
Okay.
You may be.
As you can hear, my obnoxious co-hosts are here. And as always on these podcasting journeys, my stalwart companion is Nigel. Say hello, Nigel.
Hello, guys.
And Keith.
If you say for the first time this year, fuck off.
For the minus second time this year. It's Keith.
Hello.
Hello. Sorry. What we got to talk about? We're going to be talking about Captain Marvel. We're going to briefly go over Iron Fist because I kind of want to do a special with my brother because it's kind of like a thing we do with these Netflix Marvel series. Keith wants to talk about The Bodyguard. What was the song in The Bodyguard? Can we remember the Whitney Houston one?
Not that fucking film. The BBC TV series.
No. What was the Whitney Houston song?
Love you. Yeah, that was that one.
So put that music in if you can.
Probably.
And we got some stuff about Police Academy, bits about Star Trek, and can Kathleen Kennedy please leave the fucking building, which we'll save for later. So, first of all, Captain Marvel. Person who I've described as the harbinger of doom for the DC fucking Marvel.
Maybe the DC universe. I mean, although they're doing a pretty good job of fucking that up on their own at the moment.
Yes.
How many Joker movies have been made at the moment? How many?
Four.
That's just fucking something ridiculous.
Four. Two are in production. One with Joaquin Phoenix, and
which could be quite interesting. But anybody's going to be better than Jared Leto. God, there we go. Anyway,
the thing is, the thing with Jared Leto, I can appreciate what he was trying to do. He was desperate. He threw himself into the role, something chronic. But there's throwing yourself into the role, and then there's being an arsehole.
Yeah,
and he crossed the line. And Jim Carrey did the same on Man on the Moon or whatever it was, where he was pretending to be Andy Kaufman. So it's one of those things you should learn. But there was a tweet out from my favourite actress with hair that looks like it smells, Brie Larson. Get that right. And she said to Entertainment Weekly, "Shall we break the internet?" To which everyone went, "Oh, trailer!" And we didn't get a trailer. We got a fucking front cover for Entertainment Weekly with "The Future is Female" on it. "The Force is Female" and something in Ghostbusters with something female and something with Doctor Who with something is female. Kind of seeing a pattern here. And hopefully it will be followed up by failure. They released a load of pictures and stuff, which look almost interesting.
I didn't like the cover.
No.
I did not like the cover picture of her. She looked... That was a fucking epic Photoshop fail. They made her hair look stupid. The pictures of her in the costume when you're seeing her on set or wherever, they look... it. Okay, that was interesting. But that fucking cover was god-awful. The guy that photoshopped that should be shot.
It looked like they took a picture of someone else and stuck her head on.
Mm.
That Entertainment Weekly cover, you mean?
Yeah.
Mm. The hair's all wrong as well.
It may be a case that they did do that. They may have had a picture of someone else.
But the
costume testing.
Some of the other pictures, were the scree looked quite cool.
No, the scroll, you mean?
Scroll, that's what I meant.
They don't. They look a bit like a Star Trek villain from the 1980s.
I think they're going to be cool. I'm quite looking forward to getting the scroll finally in the MCU. I think that's going to be interesting. I quite liked the de-aging shot, although I don't think it's actually CGI de-aging. They've just stuck a wig on Samuel. But that looked quite cool.
Okay. I can't remember seeing that one.
Yeah, there's a shot the of with, Samuel Jackson.
Where the fuck was that one? That's the one I haven't seen. I swear to God, I haven't seen that one.
I watched a video and saw all the shots from your favourite people on the internet. With your favourite...
What, the Nerdist?
With your favourite female presenter.
Who owes me fucking $8.99.
Right.
The moment she pays me that $8.99, problems all go away.
Who? Jessica Chobot.
Sorry, you're both talking. What?
Battle
tits from Mass Effect 3.
Don't
Sorry,
worry.
You're both talking again. One of you, please.
It's him. Right, look, right. It goes like this. Jessica Chobot, you played Mass Effect 3?
Yes.
Yeah? Know the reporter in Mass Effect 3? The one on the station that just has the massive norks?
I'm struggling to remember.
Trust me, when you remember, you'll go, oh, her!
Hang on, Nigel, how do you not remember boobs?
She got the nickname Battle Tits.
They're all the same, aren't they?
No, Nigel, they're not!
No. I think I've got 16 classifications for tits.
Only 16?
16, yeah.
But I've had to Google it. Yeah, I tried to remember. Too.
All right.
Military reporter.
Yeah. Anyway. Right. If Captain Marvel is like Michael Burnham in Star Trek Discovery, goodbye MCU. Seriously. Yeah, if she is like Michael Burnham in Star Trek Discovery or Rey in Star Wars, it's game over. Because seriously, people won't accept her as a character. There was a guy who did a video, I think it's like Filmento or something on YouTube, where he talks about weaknesses in characters are actually strengths. And he looked at the new Tomb Raider film and he took the character and turned around and says, because she fucks up so much and she struggles. And you see that struggle because that's the interesting thing. Yeah, that makes her a strong character because she can go through something difficult and pop out the other end, even though you know it wasn't easy. And if the Captain Marvel character is someone who doesn't struggle to get through to the other end, and she just does everything, yeah, because they said this is not an origin story, it's going to be terrible. And I think that's why they said that. And I think that Brie Olsen...
Larson.
Mm. Who's Brie Olsen again? Is that one Charlie Sheen was fucking?
I have no idea.
I only know one other Brie, and I'm sure it's the one that Charlie Sheen was stripping.
But
because who would name one? Who would name their daughter after a cheese? Yeah, and if you're an actress, why would you pick a name? Brie. It's seriously, and in the adult film industry, that's why it gets me because it's like kind of an adult film star named Cheese, yeah. Kind of want to stay away from her, don't you?
Cheddar,
or get a nose peg, Gorgonzola. You getting where I'm coming from here, guys? She needs a bath.
Stilton.
And the worst thing is, Brie Larson looks like she needs a bath.
Only because of that Twitter picture.
You got that as the picture? If you're an actress. You've got headshots for fucking things. You could just use one of them.
she's quite a good actress, as I said this before.
Is she? I haven't seen her anything.
And there are some things that, I mean, there was one of the shots that showed what's his face from Guardians of the Galaxy, the one that did. Was it something the Destroyer? Not no, that's Drax the Destroyer. Who?
Yeah, Ronan the Accuser.
Ronan the Accuser, and his pal, the one that has a run-in with Star-Lord right at the beginning. They were in one of the pictures, so it'd be quite cool to them. I quite like the look of the screen. I've been waiting for the shape-shifting aliens to get in there. I'm hoping this isn't some feminine fest. Bullshit, crap. I'm hoping this is more like Wonder Woman than it is a blatant political message, if you know what I mean. Because Wonder Woman was a good film, and it wasn't some feminist bullshit throwing it down your thing. She was just a good character, and it was a good film, and you didn't feel like somebody was fucking throwing gender politics down your face. If Captain Marvel is more like Wonder Woman, then it will be a good film. If it's more like what you fear it's going to be, then fuck it. I don't want anything more to do with it. I'm fed up with this kind of crap.
Yeah. If she turns out to be like Michael fucking Burnham.
No, I hear you.
Then, yeah. And the thing is, it's not an origin story. So she's got, you won't see that growth. See, instantly that struggle, which I described that the guy did for Filmento for the Lara Croft film with Tomb Raider.
It has to be a slight fucking origin story, because it's got what's his face? Oh god, who's playing Dumbledore in the
Jude Law.
Jude Law is playing her mentor in this, who trains her up. So I don't know if it is. It might not be a true origin story, but there's got to be some origin in it, because nobody knows who the fuck Captain Marvel is. So
yeah, and
I've
just
got no idea, none.
Don't worry, Nige, because I'm okay.
And they kind of wrote the book on decent origin stories. Iron Man, everybody. So I don't know.
I don't know. Kevin Feige's always said she's the most powerful person in the MCU,
which is one of the most powerful Marvel characters.
Heroes.
Yeah, she is.
So they've got to do some sort of origin story. They can't just chuck her in there and go, look how great she is.
Laura is playing her mentor, and I can't remember the character's name because I don't really know
Captain
a lot about...
Captain Marvel.
Yeah, no, you're right. Yeah.
It's Captain Marvel. Her
mentor's name is Captain Marvel, and so what?
And then he dies and she takes his mantle,
She takes the mantle, yeah. Which could explain the different coloured suit. Because there was those early set pictures where she's in the green and blue suit. And that could explain it. I like the look of the suit. As I said, I hate the fucking cut. It looks like she's constipated on the front of Entertainment Weekly. But the actual set pictures in the suit look good.
She's got what Burnham's got, which I refer to as resting bitch face.
Yeah, she has.
Yeah, where she looks fucked off when she's resting.
But this is just a phase that they're going through at the moment.
What the phase is that's going to destroy
Hollywood
Marvel?
Famous. Don't get all Debbie Downer on it yet, because don't forget, people saw Wonder Woman, and Wonder Woman was the way you make a good feminine-led film. Without
I really like
shoving
Wonder
a
Woman,
feminist
the film.
Agenda. Shoving a feminist agenda down your mouth. Wonder Woman was that perfect balance. Patty Jenkins got Wonder Woman almost perfectly right. There are a few issues with the film, but not with the balance in it. There wasn't...
Keith, yeah. there's some other versions of Wonder Woman that I've watched online, which you'd love.
I'm talking about... I know what you're getting at. I we've all watched Pornhub, but I still mean, I mean, Wonder Woman is still fucking the best DCU whatever XU whatever they fucking got, EU whatever they're calling it film thing out there. It's still the best one, and she got it right. If Captain Marvel's like that, it will not be a bad film. If it's not, and it's like more like
Michael Burnham,
yeah. then yeah, it's going to be the destruction of the MCU.
Or Rey from Star Wars. Because you can imagine that, yeah? You've seen a film, she turns up, she's just good at everything for no fucking reason, with no fucking training, yeah? She seems fucked off with everyone, yeah? But some reason everyone thinks that she's the greatest, yeah? Because this is what she's like in the comics, yeah? If that's the case, when it comes to the next Avengers film, Avengers 4, and she's fighting alongside them, and she just beats Thanos outright in one go, we'll be like...
Well, there's some interesting stuff going on around Avengers 4 at the moment. There's a lot of reshoots going on. Some people are theorizing because of the Guardians of the Galaxy stuff.
It's Fox stuff, mate. They're putting Fox stuff in there because that's what we want. I said, so this is a great theory I came up with my brother. Yeah, could you imagine what they do? Right, is they talk about all the quantum realms and like parallel universes and whatnot. Yeah, and you've got Thanos fighting the Avengers on Titan or wherever, yeah? But in the parallel universe, the X-Men are fighting Thanos.
Well, you see, Mark Ruffalo did make a very interesting comment this week about the Hulk taking on Wolverine and Hugh Jackman's Wolverine. And I know what Hugh Jackman said, but if you're Hugh Jackman and you go, do you want to be Wolverine in the MCU? You're not going to fucking turn that down, even if it's just a cameo. He does like his cameos. Can you just imagine if there was some kind of fucking Hugh Jackman cameo in there? Everybody would lose their shit over that. Yes. They would. Every geek's head will just burst. They'll just come out of that film going numb. And yeah, that would be one way you could be right. I think it is that, because although Guardians 3 is being put on what they're calling permanent hold, that just means that they're trying to find another director. And if it is the rumour is that they're getting the guy that did for Ragnarok, and that fucking works for me. If they get him to direct Guardians 3 with the script that What's-His-Face wrote, I'm fucking up for that. I'll go and watch that.
The rumour that I heard that he went there and they asked him to direct it, and he said something about doing a fourth Thor film.
But you could.
So it may be a case of, I get to do a fourth Thor film and I'll do your Guardians of the Galaxy.
Fine, I'm up for that.
And if that's the case, Loki ain't dead.
No, and I'm up for that as well. Thor Ragnarok was a good film. It was. It was by far, by a fucking country mile, the best Thor film. It was brilliant. I liked Thor. I think the humour worked in it, and it is kind of Guardians of the Galaxy humour. The guy knows what he's doing. He can direct Guardians 3. No problem. He can do it.
Yeah. If you ask me to put someone in place to do it, it would be him.
It's interesting. I hope your fears are incorrect. I think we'll know a little bit more next week, because they're blatantly building up to release a trailer in the next week or two. So we'll probably get a trailer this week. If not, then the next week. But blatantly, we're going to get a trailer. But as we're talking about this feminist stuff, I was going to have a rant later on, but I want to bring it up now because it's all part of the same fucking thing.
No, wait until we get to your section, okay?
It's the same theme.
It's
the same fucking
it isn't,
theme.
It isn't. No. I don't think it is. I think one is a policy by a public broadcaster that shouldn't have any policies like that in place, because that, in my eyes, is illegal, and I'm sure it fucking is. And they've got some weird workaround for it, which I don't agree with.
It's not legal.
And then the other one, as I said, the other one's a bad business decision. So just hold on. Let's talk Iron Fist, because it's in the Marvel thing. So that's
Iron Fist season 2. By God, was that different! By God, was that so much better than the first season. Danny Rand is less annoying. They are blatantly making Iron Fist an ensemble piece rather than about Danny Rand. Genuinely liked Ward in this. Davos, the sort of main protagonist, bad guy, although at times was slightly predictable, it was interesting, but not the most interesting thing. They finally did a proper fucking Misty and Colleen team up. And that fucking ending, if you haven't seen the ending, you've got to watch it, because the twist at the end, they hint about it in episode 8, and that final episode, they fucking did it. And you're like, whoa! Yeah, no, it's really good. I genuinely enjoyed Iron Fist season 2. I really did. The fight scenes are better. Danny Rand is less annoying. You really are, by the end of it, sympathetic to Ward. He's almost likable. Gone is all the boardroom bullcrap that we had in season 1. And because it's shorter, because it's 3 episodes shorter, it just feels better. It feels the pacing is so much better. And I loved it. You do have to watch The Defenders, because just before we came on there, Nice said he started watching it and then realized he missed out on watching. You do have to watch The Defenders, because Colleen's whole story arc through this is all based on what happened in the Defenders.
Colleen's the girl that's with Danny Rand, isn't she?
Yes. Yeah, she is.
Yeah. I liked her in the first Iron Fist.
She was the only good thing in the first series. And in this, again, in my opinion, she still outshines Danny. And at the end, you realise what... I think what happened was, they listened to everybody. They don't sideline Danny in this. But they somehow make him less annoying. They acknowledge his flaws. He acknowledges his flaws. Almost like they were intentional, which is bollocks. They never were. They have blatantly gone in a different general a direction to what they originally envisaged at the beginning of this. And they did it because of so much criticism. But seriously, it works. And it's not without its faults, but then I don't think any of the Marvel series are. I think it's not Daredevil season 2, but it's not fucking far off.
Yeah, well, I went to go and watch it, and he goes, oh, recap? I went, yeah, sure, I'll have a recap. And so I was watching the recap, and I was going, yeah, I remember that, yep. No, when did that happen? No, when did... who? Why is Luke Cage in this recap? Why is... Jessica, oh, okay, the story follows on from the Justice League or whatever. What's it called? Defenders.
Defenders, yeah.
Oh, that's the other comic book people, isn't it? Justice League, that's DC.
Defenders, yeah, Justice League. Then you've got the Dark Justice League. And then you've got the what was it? Justice League of America. and carry on, but I'll shut up.
All right, yeah. So we decided to watch the Defenders. Uh-huh. And start watching that in order to catch up on the storyline. And although Gareth's since advised me that I think it what was it the Daredevil season 2 is the precursor to Defenders.
Yeah, which you need to kind of watch for the Defenders, because you don't understand the Elektra character.
No, you
I don't know who this woman is.
You do and you don't. I would say you have to have watched... You more so have to have seen Iron Fist season 1 to get who the Hand are. The Hand are only really kind of touched upon in Daredevil season 2. I mean, Daredevil season 2 is the best of all the Marvel by some way. Iron Fist season 2 is good. It's not quite as good as season 2 of Daredevil.
The
Defenders is all right. But there's a couple of issues with it. I started watching it again yesterday once I finished Iron Fist, because I wanted to see it again. And I have really decided that I just do not like Jessica Jones one fucking bit. I really do not like her thing. The only thing that made Jessica Jones season 1 good was David Tennant as Kilgrave.
Yes, I find Jessica Jones, the character... very annoying.
There's nothing redeeming about her.
Very annoying. See, dislike the thing is, her. Don't care if she's not in it. Really do not. Really don't like her. Pointless character, in my opinion.
Yeah, I mean, and you know, when you got characters like... You might not agree with me on this, guy. I find Kalina and Misty far more interesting than I do What's-Her-Face. I don't know if it's Christine Ritter's portrayal of it. I don't know. I don't know what it is. I just do not like her. And season two, and fucking What's-Her-Face at the end of that. Yeah, again, the only reason that you don't hate upon Jessica Jones so much is because What's-Her-Face, Trish, is so much more of a bitch. In season two of Jessica Jones. Oh, my God.
Oh, in season
two. By the end of season two of Jessica Jones, Trish is just, what a bitch.
You see, I've not, because I dislike the character Jessica Jones, I haven't even registered the fact that there is a season two of it. Ignored it completely. I'm not interested. I don't like the character.
It's not good.
So I don't really fancy watching it.
It's not good. Both me and Gareth, when we talked about it on the podcast, we didn't even recommend it, did we?
In the first season, I preferred Trish.
No, you
because
really
I liked
won't.
Her character.
You really won't like her in season two. You really,
what, have they
really
fucking changed
like
her character entirely? Or?
No, they just made her a bitch. Although she was always going that way. When you actually watch back season one and then watch season two, there is a progression. And she's kind of slowly becoming that bitch in season one, but it's subtle. But in season two, it's just full on bitch. Out for
I just don't get. Yeah, in The Defenders, her mate, well, I say her mate, the bloke who lives next door, the druggie, ex-druggie,
Malcolm.
In Jessica Jones, the ex-druggie who lived next door, she sort of helped him, well, not her really, but he's now clean, he's helping her out and all that sort of stuff. And she, despite everything they've been through, is an utter cowbag towards him.
She's even
and
more...
he still is nice towards her. And you just think, mate, why are you being nice towards this bitch of a woman?
Well, the good thing is he leaves her in season two because she's even more of a bitch.
How is that possible if she's more? I don't get it. It's unbelievable.
You see, people say that Danny Rand was the worst thing in The Defenders. I haven't watched the first five episodes. I'm on episode six now. Again, yeah. Danny Rand is not the most annoying thing in it. It's Jessica Jones. I'm sorry.
It is Jessica. I've watched two. We've watched two. And yeah, it's Jessica Jones.
I say really Danny Rand is...
His redemption was Luke Cage. In that episode of Luke Cage. And in this, it continues. And as I said, Iron Fist Season 2 is one of the better ones. I quite liked the story in this. I quite like... It's left me wanting more, which is what it should do. And that the final episode, yeah, I'm sold on it. If you are watching it, guys, watch beyond the credits, because at the end of the credits is a typical Marvel sting. And we get a little Daredevil Season 3 teaser, which is quite ominous.
What do you think, Gav?
What I was trying to say was that Danny Rand acted more as comic relief in Defenders, because every time he spoke up about the Immortal Iron Fist and beating a dragon, everyone just looked at him like he was a loon, which didn't make you hate the character. It just made you look at, you come across as a little autistic. Yeah. As you keep carrying on about this sodding dragon, could you just shut up about you beating a dragon? There was that, and then with Jessica Jones, as I said in previous things, she's got a face like a human sex doll, because she's got like a, I think it's maybe she's got small nasal cavity or something, but she looks like she's smelling something bad constantly, and having someone who's got an attitude like that, who doesn't have any kind of redeeming qualities,
I think that is partly
a male character.
I think it was miscast. I don't think Christine Ritter was the best person to play. It doesn't work for me. She's too grungy, and Jessica Jones was a bit grungy, but not that grungy.
I don't know.
There is a really cool moment early on in Iron Fist season two. I think it's the third episode where we get a flashback of the fight between him and Davos before they can go on to fight the dragon and become the immortal Iron Fist. And all of those scenes, they obviously filmed it somewhere on location. because the set is amazing. It's not a set, it's obviously somewhere. But the cool thing is they wear the Iron Fist masks, so the yellow things with the black eyes, and it's really, and it works. It's not cheesy. And it works, and it's quite cool. That episode's really good.
I'm not sure what you mean.
Iron Fist had a costume, and part of the costume was a yellow sort of over, a bit like Daredevil wears in the Defenders. But
it looked very similar to Daredevil's mask.
And then it had, but he had cut open black eye. But it looks really cool. But it always looked cheesy. In Iron Fist season 2, they work it in quite a clever way, and it doesn't, and it works. But as I said, I want to be in on this podcast with your brothers because I want to discuss that final fucking 20 minutes of Iron Fist season 2. It's just like, whoa!
Well, what I enjoyed. Well, I can't talk about Iron Fist 2, but the Defenders season, the Defenders episode 1 was a bit of a, you know, slow burn. But then episode 2, I like where you start to see where their lives are sort of starting to intertwine, especially with Danny Rand and Luke Cage. Because he's Danny Rand's. Oh God, you mentioned her name earlier. The girl,
Colleen.
She went. Oh yeah, this sword making place. It was a special sword. They only make it here in wherever they are, New York or whatever. They go there. They find all the dead bodies. Danny Rand's more interested in a painting on the wall, which was of Cullen.
Yeah,
and. Then they see people coming in, and at the same time, Luke Cage has been following this kid who is trying to get out of trouble because his mate was in trouble and shit and died and whatever, like in the hood. And he's followed him to this place, and obviously not knowing what's going on inside. And Colleen and Danny decide, right, we'll take these guys out. They're dissolving the bodies, basically, removing any evidence and shit. And they have this fight. And then one of the kid that Cage is following, runs away, and Danny follows him. Luke gets in the way, and then the bloke's like, "What the fuck are you doing here?" And Cage goes,
"I love that fight scene between."
And then they start fighting, and the thing is, Cage is just swinging at Danny, and Danny's blocking, and he's going. Usually, when Cage swings a punch at you and it hits, you fly across the room, right? Danny's blocking him, and.
Yeah, but he's doing no damage as well.
He is doing damage. And it's the way the fight, you sort of expect it to go that way, that Danny can't damage him. And you're expecting him to pull out the Iron Fist a little bit earlier.
Yeah, no, I like that. I like that. I liked the bit where Luke's just standing there taking all these fucking things. And there's some really good fighting there. The bit where he tries to trip him up and everything, and he's just fucking up. And he keeps coming back for it, and you know what's going to happen, but they make you wait for it, and when it finally comes, and that punch goes into, and there's look of surprise on Cage's face. It's all slow motion as his whole fucking face goes, you know,
and then he flies across and smacks into the gate,
and they make you cheer for Danny at that point because Luke's a bit too cocky. And you're like, oh, come on, he needs to be taken down.
He was holding Danny down, going, stay down, stay down.
Yeah, it's a bit cocky.
And Danny's like, yeah, fuck you, mate. And the fact that when Cage gets back up, he looks absolutely shell-shocked. Nobody's done that to him ever.
It's like, nobody. Bitch, you just got knocked the fuck out.
And he's like, shit, that's the first person to actually hurt me beside that fucking big gun in the first season. You know, that's the only other time he got hurt. And he's sitting there going, how the fuck, you know what's going through his head. He's going, how the fuck did he do that? And he's going, yes, Danny. And then he legs it and shit. And so that was their first interaction, and it was against each other. So I'm wondering how, now I've seen that, it makes me want to know what happens next for them to get in bed with each other, sort of thing.
It was quite clever because in the comics, Iron Fist or Danny and Luke Cage team up quite a lot. In fact, they become heroes for hire, don't they, Gareth? Isn't there a comic series called Heroes for Hire?
It is still Heroes for Hire, and they hang out in a theatre or a cinema, I can't remember, which I think is actually in The Defenders later on. You've got that to look forward to. And it's great when Daredevil turns up and he literally becomes the de facto leader straight off. Because everyone's like kind of, I should be doing this and I should be doing this. And Daredevil's like, well, no, we do this, this and this. Well, if you don't listen to me, that's your problem. You go and get yourself killed. And everyone's like, okay, fair enough. I did like the way that everyone just defaulted straight to him. There was no kind of, it's bad writing technically, but I kind of enjoyed it.
Is that in The Defenders?
Yeah, it's
that is in The Defenders. It's the Chinese restaurant
episode. So you don't see them. You do get to see them on screen together fighting in the next episode. That's not really a spoiler, but it's good. They missed a few things, but yeah, it's good.
Go on rant about bodyguard or body odor or whatever the fuck it is.
I'm not gonna rant.
Is this the bodyguard to an assassin?
No, right. Have you seen Line of Duty on the BBC? It started off on BBC Two and then transferred to channel BBC One because it's just such fucking great drama. It's internal investigations in the police, but that doesn't do it justice. It's some of the best fucking drama the BBC has ever put out. Ever.
The Bodyguard.
Line of Duty. It's really fucking good. Every season has kept you on the edge. Every episode keeps you going. And they've had some, you know, Sadie Newton was in the last one. And she's brilliant in it. And before that, the woman that's Keely Hawes is now playing the thing in The Bodyguard. Anyway, the people that write Line of Duty, or the guy that writes Line of Duty, writes this new thing called The Bodyguard. And right from the fucking offset, it was really good, because basically it's a bloke on the train, and within about 2 minutes you realise that something's dodgy going on, and it basically turns out that they think there's a terrorist on the train. He goes to confront the terrorist who's in the toilet. This guy walks out, nothing on him. So he goes like that. And then he walks into the toilet and there's a woman in there with a bomb vest on. And for the first 20 minutes, he's talking her down. And it's really quite edge of your seat shit. And then episode 2 has something else that goes on where, because he then gets put in charge of taking... of being basically the chief protection officer to the Home Secretary. And she is a bit of a controversial figure because she wants to do away with privacy laws and blah, 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 so she can catch... So she can catch terrorists and stuff. And, it's... sorry, I just got a call. I apologise about it. So she can catch terrorists and stuff. And then there's an attempt on her life. And then in the third episode, we don't know she's alive because at the end they blow her up. And this is only 3 episodes in. But the thing that I've noticed that's just slightly annoying is that every fucking character in there, with the exception of the head of the secret services, of any position of importance or leadership, they're all women. So the Home Secretary is a woman. The chief of the terrorist thing is a woman. The boss of the bodyguard is a woman. The woman that turns up in the person that turns up in the first episode that's running the negotiators to talk them down, it's a woman. The person that runs the sort of SO19 boss is a woman. Every one of them, with the exception of the fucking Prime Minister, is a woman. It's like, hang on, what's going on here? And you suddenly realise it's the BBC throwing gender politics down you. It's like, hang on, you see the Prime Minister for literally 5 seconds, and that's a man. And the only other person that has a senior role, other than the fact the bodyguard is a man and he's suffering from shell shock, every leadership role, with the exception of one, is a woman. Every one of them. Now, don't get me wrong, our current Home Secretary is a woman, our current Prime Minister is a woman, and the current head of counterterrorism in the police is a woman. But there are other... It seems to be out of balance.
You mean that when they talk about diversity, they don't mean diversity, they just mean less white males?
Yes.
That's what it means. That's what I've come. The more I look at it, every time I say it, it's like kind of, it's like, why isn't this, what do you call it, balanced properly? Because it's not, and I find it a very egregious, shall we say.
It bothers me because it's a really good show, and it's from a really good writer, and it's not like that in The Line of Duty. You've got very strong female roles in The Line of Duty, and you've got very strong male roles in there, and there's a balance to it. And I don't know, I don't think it's this writer. I think it's the BBC execs forcing it in there, and it pisses me off because it is really good drama. And as I said, each episode has had you on the edge of the seat. But when you notice this, you can't unnotice it, and it bothers me because there's no balance to it. It's almost like what Russell T. Davis did with the first season of the spin-off from Doctor Who, where every fucking alien that seemed to be running around Cardiff was gay. And he was pressing that on you every 5 seconds.
Yeah, but that's because he's like his own political agenda, if that makes sense. It's not a company mandated agenda.
I know what you mean, but you know what I mean, and you can't unnotice it in this. And it's a real shame because The Bodyguard is really good. I mean, it's some of the best. The only other thing that I would say that has really impressed me as much from the BBC in recent years was the first two seasons of The Missing, which was the first one was about a child getting kidnapped and the parents desperately looking for him. And the second season was a similar thing, and that had Keely Hawes in it, funny enough, and she was brilliant in that, and she's very, very good in this. You're not sure if she's a baddie or not, and I like that, and I get having her character as a female that works, and the female boss of counterintelligence that works, because the way they are falling out with each other. But then all these other leadership roles, it's like, oh, hang on a second, that's just an agenda thing. There's no need. There's a story purpose for those two characters to be women, and it works. But his boss in the police, that doesn't need to be a woman. That could have been a man. And I believe in balance. I'm not sort of bitching about this. It's just completely out of countered, you know what I mean? It's out of balance, and that bothers me.
It's hypocrisy. That's the bit that grates
on
you.
I'm all for strong.
We want balance, and it's like kind of no, we've not done. See, the thing is, if it does, it irritates me. I could go on for. I'm joking. If you get me on, I'll be gone for hours. Can we move on to something a bit nicer?
Yeah, go on then.
Yeah,
let's talk about Police Academy. Stephen Gutenberg apparently has been spouting off, according to Nigel.
Gutenberg! The Goot.
The Gutenberg. That's a cake, isn't it?
Oh, no, it's a Battenberg. I thought.
That's a Battenberg.
That's a Battenberg.
Gutenberg's where the Bible was printed on a press, and Battenberg is a cake. Don't get too confused, because I wouldn't want to see you eat a 1,000-page book.
That would be a bit difficult.
I'll have a Gutenberg. Anyway, go on, tell us about Mr. Gutenberg.
Well, he's been recently been having a little natter to some people, and it sounds like there is a Police Academy 8 in the works. Don't know about you guys, but I grew up as a child watching Police Academy.
Totally. It's the first movie I ever saw boobs in.
Yeah.
No, really, it's the first movie I ever saw boobs in. She gets her boobs out, and not her. It was one of the thingies in the party scene when they're dancing in the first movie. I think it was the only one that had the 18 rating or 15 rating at the time. It was the rest of them were softer than that, but that one had, boobies in it. It was the first time I ever saw boobs in the movie.
Yeah, I can't remember too well, but been a long time. The first one came out in 1984, man.
Yeah. I got it on rental from the video when I saw the cartoon. Because there was a cartoon on, I can't remember if it was on Going Live or the other one, the ITV one, but there was a cartoon Police Academy, and I thought it was really funny. So I thought I'd go and watch the film. The film was a bit more adult orientated and had boobies.
There was
warped my fragile little mind, it did.
There is only one officer's name I can remember because he was my favourite. Oh, no, two. I just remembered a second one. Jones.
Jones. Jones was the guy that did the voices.
He did the voices and the sound effects.
That guy is amazing.
Absolutely astonishing. And that's why I loved it, because of him. He made some bits that shouldn't be funny, funny.
Yeah.
And that was, yeah, he was great. And Hightower. I remember Hightower as well.
And then there was the cat. What was the name of the one that they were always playing practical jokes on?
It wasn't Lestrade.
Harris?
Harris, yeah. Lestrade's dead. Harris. The actor that played Lestrade has died, so I don't know how they'll replace Lestrade. Most of them are still alive.
I thought the idea of the movie was going to be that Steve Guttenberg would be in charge of the police academy.
Yes,
that's... And then he'd have to be subject to the shit that he put other people through.
That is,
which I kind of like the angle of like kind of him going, yeah.
"What comes around goes around."
Yeah, yeah, I can't believe I did this. And it's like other things where I've done fucking worse.
They're going to get Mahoney. The guy that played
that was his name Mahoney.
Mahoney, yeah, it was
the,
a yes.
The rumor is they're going to get Jones back because he's still quite. I think the guy that wasn't, he wasn't in the first one. I think he came in the third one. The Screech guy who was quite funny, but.
What, the one who's like,
yeah, he was a weird Canadian guy.
Biker dude.
He kind of disappeared.
Constipated after sounding fun.
Yes.
No, he did Scrooged with Bill Murray.
Yes, he did. Yes, you're right.
He's done did. Other, I've that, seen him in loads of other things.
Yeah, he came in because like three, of, didn't he joined because they were doing some sort of recruitment thing, academy.
Yeah, Citizens on Patrol.
And he came along with, not short stuff, fuck. What is it?
You've got
I'm trying to... Sweet Chuck.
Oh, the little cadet nervous Sweet Chuck, fella.
The little guy. He was really timid. Where's little...
Oh,
little,
God, yeah, I remember him.
Braces and...
But it was the...
Zed.
What was the little...
Cadet
sort of
Zed. Was...
The chubby black girl who spoke really timidly until she had to give an order. And she was like, God!
No.
That was brilliant. No, that was, she was fantastic. She was.
Oh, God, no. What was her name?
Wasn't she one of the wives of one of the people there?
No. That's another character. No. She was one of the cadets. She was like this little chubby...
No. She wasn't. She was... the first film, it was his wife. And then later on, she then joined the police academy.
Did she?
He was really nervous because they'd have to work together.
No,
and I'm sure that was a thing because secretly he wanted her to fail so we wouldn't have to work together. And then, but she was doing really well.
I thought she was in it from the beginning. I remember Hightower
because you might have somebody who was in there. Was it Hooks? Hooks? Do you remember her?
No.
God, I think it was Hooks because she. She's an original Police Academy member. And her and Hightower had a thing. What's Hightower's real name?
It was
Tackleberry.
Yes.
Tackleberry.
And they were having a thing. They were like, well, not having a thing, but he really protected her and she, you know, got on and stuff. And then, what's his face? Mauser was always having a go at her for not speaking loud enough. And then the next thing she does is she goes overboard and absolutely screams the next few lines. And she's like this petite little woman, smaller than me.
Gareth might be right. Okay. I don't think she might have
been. That's her,
right.
That's her.
Yeah, you're right.
What's her name?
Her name... I thought it was Hooks.
Marion Ramsey.
Let me have a look. Just
no, she's in the first one.
Yeah, dude. Yeah, no. Look for Laverne Hooks.
She's in Police Academy 1, 2, 3, and maybe in more than that. Laverne Hooks.
She might have been quite a few. Yeah, yeah. That was her. That was her. Moses Hightower.
Might be getting her confused with another character.
Yeah. No, Keith. Sweet Chuck was a bloke. He's like a little bloke who joins up. Oh, I think it's his missus wants him out of the house or whatever because he's fucking useless. And then Zed, the guy who screeches all the time from Biker, yeah? He starts like been a bit of a dick towards him, but then they end up sort of in a weird way start being buddies with each other and start they're getting in shit together basically, and they help each other out and they end up being buddy buddy, you know.
Yeah,
and that Sweet Chuck, mate, look him up. Look up Sweet Chuck. I'm sure that's him.
I'm not as familiar. I've only like watched him like once.
Because he was
I've watched one, two, four, and then that was it. I didn't get three. I don't think I got to watch three.
Yeah, mate, it was part of my childhood. Used to watch them all because
I used to watch Alien, Aliens, Predator.
Yeah, see,
they were my films. It was horror / action because they were the best one. It's like watching.
You've got Tackleberry. Tackleberry's a guy who loves a big gun.
Yes.
You remember him? And he's the one who got it on with the woman that all the
with the
cadets
boobs.
Were lusting after. Yeah, I can't remember
the
her
one
name.
With the boobs. What was her name?
Callahan, was it? Was it Callahan?
Callahan?
Or was it Tallahan?
Yes, yeah, Sergeant Callahan.
Okay.
Yeah, Sergeant Callahan, played by Leslie
Callahan,
Easterbrook.
Yeah. Probably getting on a little bit now. Born in 49.
It's like 70-something.
Yeah.
Shit.
So, yeah, you've got all these characters that they're all good in their own right because they've all got their own personalities, but then they're all working together for shit. And they're fucking from different backgrounds. They're all completely different. Brilliant.
Damn.
Brilliant. Yeah, I'm looking forward to seeing what they're going to do.
Everybody that is still alive will be back in the movie. So if they can get them all back together again, I'm up for it. I'll go and watch that.
Is the guy that he used to give lots of shit to. Oh, what was that?
I think Hightower Harris might have passed away as well. I don't know if I'm right in that. I know the guy, because the guy that played Jones does all the voices. There's recent YouTube videos of him doing shit. You're just like, how the fuck is he doing that?
I know, man.
I mean, that guy is just seriously talented.
The guy who plays Stingy is still alive. He's still alive. It would be really good if Steve Guttenberg's character was the guy in charge of it, and what's his mush was still in the same fucking position. Yeah. and they hate each other. They properly fucking hate each other. I would watch that. Or you could swap it round. Have him in charge and Hightower in his, and have Steve Guttenberg's character in his fucking position.
But you heard the
because that would be. I think that
really took the headline, but there was another headline that Gutenberg dropped. There is a second sequel to Three Men and a Baby called Three Men and a Bride.
Mm. Is there?
Ted Danson and Tom Selleck are coming back. Who was the third man?
Oh, yeah.
It was him.
Oh, it was Gutenberg.
Tom Selleck and Ted Danson. Gutenberg. I love it. You forgot the one person who said it.
Gutenberg, isn't it? So it's called Three Men and a Bride, which could work. Of course, Three Men and a Baby had the famous ghost scene, which wasn't a ghost. It was I can't remember what it turned out to be, but it's still.
There's a grip that walked on set at the wrong time. Yeah. Just stand still; they won't notice you. So, it's like a T-Rex.
We could be seeing a little bit of a return of the Gutenberg, and I'm up for that. I mean, yeah, I'm up for that. I'm up for a Police Academy 8. I'm up for another sequel to Three Men and a Baby. I used to love that film as a kid.
What about... what's his mush? What about Quentin Tarantino and Star Trek? You heard about that?
Yeah. Yeah. He's saying that he wants to make a Star Trek movie and for the Star Trek movie to have an R rating. Which for us Brits means it's an 18.
Yeah.
I
have a problem with that.
He's looking to say, look, if you're getting sucked out to space and you're injured or whatever, your inside should come out of you, sort of thing. He's trying to make it a little bit more graphic, I would say.
You know what? Yeah, do it.
No.
Given the fun shit we're having.
Nice.
I have a problem with them even dropping the F-bomb in Star Trek, so I will have a massive problem. No, it doesn't work for me.
We'll see you later, Keith.
It could work.
We're on the
I could see him doing a Star Wars film, but not Star Trek. It bothers me.
How would he do a Star Wars film?
Because you can make gritty Star Wars films. The universe is there. It's a big enough universe. Star Trek isn't... I don't know what it is. I can't put my finger on it. Maybe I'm just an old school Trekkie, but...
It goes like this, yeah? Whatever it is, it's going to be better than Star Trek Discovery.
Yeah, but anything's going to be better than that. I mean...
Exactly. Star Trek emergency pile surgery will be better than Star Trek Discovery.
Star Trek was about hope. Star Trek was about a better life ahead of us and blah blah blah. That was what Gene Roddenberry's original envision was for him. And you can say what you like about that. That it, you know, it's bullshit and blah blah
bit,
blah.
A bit communist.
But that's what Star Trek was, and Discovery lost that. And an R-rated Star Trek, no, that's not what Star Trek is. It's not what Star Trek is. It doesn't work for me. I like Quentin Tarantino, don't get me wrong, but I think his style of thing in Star Trek, why doesn't he just do a sci-fi?
I would like
that
to
is sci-fi?
See.
Star Trek?
It is sci-fi.
Yeah, it doesn't have to be attached to anything. Why doesn't he do something original?
Are you such a Trekkie? You don't think Star Trek is sci-fi?
No, I think that...
You think that's real?
That's
fiction, man.
No, you're not hearing... One, I think it's a way of jumping on another reboot, blah, blah, blah thing, because Hollywood can't do anything original. And the thing is, Tarantino's always done original stuff. You know, and...
Yeah, and it would be massively original. He's telling me that you wouldn't want to see Samuel L. Jackson captain the motherfucking Enterprise
because
Klingons off my motherfucking starship.
Star Trek. It doesn't work for me. I'm sorry. I'm a purist.
I think I've just...
Call me an idiot. I know.
You're sitting there.
I know.
You want something original from him, but then you want an original... And nothing changed. Star Trek.
No,
you're saying you want something
original. I'm not.
You offered something, and then you say no, you don't want anything changed.
I'm not saying that because the J.J. Abrahams movies kind of got it right. They managed to update it while still staying faithful.
No. They fucked Star Trek. They bent it over a table. And without any lubrication,
I don't agree.
BBF'd it.
I don't agree.
No, they
didn't.
Is they cheapened Star Trek to a fast, whimsical sci-fi movie, which was away from the kind of the science and the exploration and the feeling of awe and discovery and stuff. Oh, just a quick one, yeah. No, the third science fiction film ever made. Star Trek 3, The Search for Spock, because apparently no one made sci-fi films before then. No, the Bird of Prey in that.
Yes.
That wasn't supposed to be a Klingon Bird of Prey. That was supposed to be a stolen Romulan Bird of Prey.
Yes.
The start of the film was them supposed to be stealing, the Klingon supposed to be stealing it.
Yes, I knew
because
that.
Which I was like, kind of, dude, that would have made it a bit better. Because I love that Bird of Prey. That's one of my favourite starships. Especially when you put the wings up. Like, that's fucking sweet.
Yep. Discovery managed to fuck those as well.
Yeah, well, Star Trek Discovery couldn't fucking open up a tin of beans that was already open without screwing it up.
Had awesome production
people
value.
For $10 million an episode, I should fucking hope so. Do you know the worst thing is? They couldn't fucking manage the 10 million.
No, they couldn't.
They went over fucking budget.
Do you want to finish off by pleasing me even more and telling me what's happening to Catherine Kennedy? Ding dong.
Right, Catherine Kennedy, would you politely fuck off? That's my first message, right? I've heard rumours of her going and her being fired and tapes recorded with her being chewed out by Bob Iger, and Bob Iger hating her, and Bob Iger not being able to, remove her from the Lucasfilm things without fucking up production on everything, which I think has pissed him off no end. It goes like this. Kathleen Kennedy, apparently, is getting an Oscar. I don't know what for. Yeah, because
she's a like producer.
She's a producer, but she worked with like super creative people, which is like they're auteurs, so they all she has to do is sign off checks and capexes, yeah, to make the whole fucking thing work. So, you want that? Okay, done. Yeah, that's it. And apparently, and it shows with fucking Star Wars. She's not creative in the slightest, and she's getting a Lifetime Achievement Oscar. Now, the reason I think she's getting a Lifetime Achievement Oscar is because I think they're retiring her out through the door. Now, apparently, Disney's fiscal year ends in September. So if it ends in September, there's a chance that they may announce that she's leaving after thingy to keep their shareholders happy, because they're looking at it. You spent $4 billion on Star Wars. Rian Johnson fucked it up, which then caused the next film to fuck up, which will probably cause the third film to fuck up. And if the third film fucks up, Mr. Iger, you might be out of a fucking job.
I'm not sure the third film will fuck up, because they've been making a hell of a song and dance about bringing J.J. Abrams back. And regardless of what you might thought of Force Awakens, it's not quite as... You are a minority when it comes to The Force Awakens. Not that I disagree with you.
No.
But you are.
I'm not.
You are.
I'm not.
No, I think it's split.
It's less decisive than the Last Jedi, or whatever they fucking called it.
Hold on a second. If I turn round and say to a Star Wars fan, that The Force Awakens, did you see that as Star Wars The Greatest Hits? They will probably turn around and say to me, it was pretty much Star Wars The Greatest Hits.
Yes.
Yeah.
And you are absolutely creatively, right.
Creatively, it was incredibly lazy.
And you're right.
Incredibly lazy.
But people don't have the problem with it. Hold on.
But hold on. And the problem was, is everyone watched that because they hadn't seen a Star Wars film in ages, yeah? And we were getting a Star Wars film. And it looked reasonably okay, and people watched it. And people went out and they went, yeah. It passed what they refer to as the fridge test, as in, if you go for this is Alfred Hitchcock, right? If you go to get a snack in the middle of the night because he was a fat bastard, and you go down to the fridge and you go, that film was bollocks, yeah? It passed the fridge test. If you walk out the cinema and go, that was bollocks, which I think I did with Star Trek, Star Wars, I'm picking on fucking Star Trek, I shouldn't do. It's shit. It was lazy. They copied and pasted a load of stuff. They had one new, interesting character, an opportunity. This is the one that always gets me, and I didn't really think about it. An opportunity to get all the cast members back together, which they wasted. Harrison Ford wanted to get out the door as fast as he fucking could.
I don't disagree with you.
No.
But you are...
As the
collective thing of The Force Awakens is that most people liked it. Not thought it was the greatest thing in the world, but liked it. It is definitely not... got the hatred behind it that the Last Jedi has, and you know it didn't do damage because people then went and saw the Rogue One and really liked Rogue One, and then went to see Last Jedi. And most people, although Disney are playing this down and still trying to play this down, everybody you speak to says the Last Jedi was crap and they're pissed off about it and blah 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 blah. They are making a song and dance about Episode 9.
I don't think it's going to be brilliant, but I think it'll be better. Keith, all they're saying is J.J. Abrams is directing it, and it seems to be taking a longer further in the future, and you've got an older female character in it. Yay! Another Mary Sue character for us just to hate. So it's I'm done, as I said before, after The Last Jedi. I am done with Star Wars. It is dead. I am not wasting my time or money on it.
But there are some interesting theories as to why they're bringing back Clone Wars. And
they're bringing back Clone Wars because
the lead character of Clone Wars the last season is Ahsoka. Now
it doesn't matter.
I heard a fan theory the other day, and if they do this, then my faith is slightly restored. But there is a theory that Rey's mum is Ahsoka, and if they do that, that fucking works.
No, she's not an alien. Problem's up. It's not. It's not the case. She's not an alien. It's going to be Mara Jade, who's Luke's supposed to be Luke Skywalker's wife. That'll be the character.
Luke didn't have
it. It won't be Ahsoka. Yeah.
Isn't
it? See, it's not. It's going to be a raging disappointment.
Probably.
It's going to be an utter disappointment. You're going to walk out of that, and you're going to go.
I don't think I'm going to walk out of it like I did out of The Last Jedi. And then when I went and saw it, you just walked out with fucking pure rage. So, anyway, if Kathleen Kennedy's gone, there might be hope for some. There might be some hope, but we shall see. We shall see.
And on that note, it's time to say fuck off. But enough. I don't mean you, the listeners. I mean these two unpleasurable gentlemen. I love you, listeners, but I have to deal with these two, and they're just it's like herding cats. Some hard wrangling.
Oh, he's so hard done by. The poor bastard.
I am so hard done.
The poor anyway, bastard.
Anyway, let's say goodbye, and I hope. Yeah, let's say goodbye. Someone say goodbye.
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 Fucking at the same time. That wasn't even timed or rehearsed or anything.
No, usually Keith waits for me to go, so I just thought, well, I'll go.
It was just intuitive.
Right. You'll hear from us in the next podcast. Catch you later, guys. Bye-bye.
See you later.
Thanks for downloading the Monkey Nut Punch podcast. You can follow us on Twitter at Monkey Nut Punch. You can also find us on Facebook, facebook.com/Monkey Nut Punch.